Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome in. It is the early morning show right here on 93.7 The Fan, live and local from our Green Tree Studios. 5:03 on this Friday morning. I'm Matt Cole with you to about 5:40 before the Fan morning show pre-show. And getting ready for a weekend full of football action. Cannot wait for that. We have finally arrived. And, of course, we'll have to wait another day for Steelers football action as they take the field on Monday night to start things up. And we've got our first taste of it last night with the Texans and the Chiefs. We'll have plenty of time to wrap that up and go over all that happened last night later on in the show. Wanted to start off today, though, with something a little bit different. And it is an interview that I had yesterday right after the show. Caught up with a guy who is about, like, self-made internet guy is... somebody maybe that you've caught his act over the last year or so, does a lot of impressions, caught the attention of Colin Cowherd and others, and has kind of taken off. And while I'm not a huge Barstool Sports guy, he does work for Barstool Sports, and I even tell him that during the interview. It's Joey Molinaro, and he is also a humongous Steelers fan. So I figured it'd take a few minutes to catch up with him before the Steelers take on the Giants on Monday night. So here's a couple of minutes with Joey Molinaro to start off the show today. Bring in a guy who is about as 2020 self-made as it gets. Social media presence has grown and grown over the past year or so. Now he's working for Barstool Sports, and he's a humongous Steelers fan. So he's perfect for this show. It's Joey Molinaro. Joey, how are you, man?
Matt, what's happening, dude? I'm very, very good. I'm happy to be with you on this NFL opening weekend. Can't get much better, man. Football's back, so I am just through the roof.
Oh, so am I. I mean, this is such a relief to finally get here after dealing with all this crap for the last how many months. So your calling card is making videos, doing skits, doing impressions of people in the sports world. I know you do one of Colin Cowherd that I particularly enjoy that I might have you break out here before I let you go because it's fantastic. And Colin,
thank you.
Colin mentioned you on his show and how good your impression was of him. Is that when things kind of like really took off for you?
Ooh, it was well, I appreciate you saying that, man. That's awesome. But it was one of those moments. I'd say the first one that really set stuff off was when I busted out Nick Saban, him talking about Thanksgiving this past year. That one was really big. And then, you know, Coach O that I do picked up a lot of momentum because, you know, he was so popular. Joe Burrow and LSU was doing so well. So those are kind of really the first two. And then when I started doing Cowherd, that was like the next one that everybody was like, oh, okay. You know, he has these coaches, but oh, now he has this Cowherd. And I think everybody just kind of generally likes making fun of Colin Cowherd together. So I'm gladly to lead that charge for everybody. But, no, that was super, super cool when he did that. You know, I love when people are good sports about it and don't get offended because, you know, I'm a huge – at the end of the day, I'm a huge Cowherd fan. I listen to his show all the time. I appreciate his insights and his thoughts. So that's one of the reasons why I can impersonate him as well as I seem to be able to do. But So it's no harm, no foul. But, yeah, that was super cool for him to give me a shout-out like that.
Now, you're not from Pittsburgh. You're from Indy, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so how did you become a Steelers fan? And can you tell me a little bit about Steeler Nation outside of Pittsburgh? Because sometimes we hear about it living here and just how big it is. We don't really get that perspective because, obviously, we live here. So what kind of insight can you shed on that?
Sure, man. Yeah, that's one of the main questions that I always get. How did you become a Steelers fan? Why are you a Steelers fan? You're from Indy. Well, what happened is that my dad grew up in Indianapolis during the 70s. You know, he was a kid and a teenager around that time. And for those who don't know, the Indianapolis Colts did not exist until 1984. Therefore, during the Steelers' run in the 70s, when they were, you know, dynasty, greatest teams of all time, there wasn't a team locally here that my dad really rolled with. There wasn't one in Indy. There wasn't, you know, he didn't latch on to the Bengals, thank God, or the Browns or anything like that. So he rode with the Steelers because they were the best. So through his life, he's been a Steelers fan. He passed it on to me. It's a huge, huge thing in my family. I talk about it all the time. We, you know, in the fall, we go to the Church of the Steelers. You know, that becomes our church for the fall. We don't go on Sunday mornings. We, you know, prep food and get ready to watch the Steelers together. So it's a huge, huge thing. And to your point, yeah, I think it's interesting that especially people from Pittsburgh, you know, you see on TV all these stadiums that are filled with, you know, terrible towels and Steelers fans when they're on the road. That's 100% true. Every time that the Steelers come to Indy to play, I mean, I kid you not, it's at least a quarter, sometimes half, you know, and some of the worst years for the Colts, sometimes half full of Steelers fans, and that's on a road game. So they don't call it Steeler Nation for, you know, no reason. It is one of the few fan bases in sports that, you know, everybody always says, oh, yeah, you know, Jaguar Nation. There's no Jaguar Nation, you know what I mean? Right. The Steeler Nation goes coast to coast, baby, and I'm glad to be in it.
Joey Molinaro, Barstool Sports, joining me here on the early morning show. Coach T, I wanted to ask you a question about him, too, outside of Pittsburgh, because I'll be honest with you, man, he gets roasted here from time to time for different things,
sure.
You know, and I think it's a lot, the Pittsburgh fan, I guess, is a lot harder on him than I think the national view of him is. Is that true?
Yes. I would say even on, you know, national shows that we all kind of make fun of, I think that they rep Coach Tomlin really well. I think that people here in Indianapolis, you know, they, even when I would get frustrated with different things that happen with Coach Tomlin, you know, when you go on the road and lose to the Jets, or you can't beat the Raiders for whatever reason, or you have to lose in Denver every time you play there, even when they're 3-6, you know, to us, that's unacceptable. But to everybody else, that's just kind of like, oh, that's just how it goes in the NFL. So, I've been reminded a lot that we are lucky to have Coach Tomlin. I agree they were lucky to have Coach Tomlin at the end of the day. You know, when you, especially when you look back at something like, sorry, I got a truck coming behind me. I'm outside here early in the morning.
Oh, you're good.
you know, when you look at all the stuff that went down just in a prime instance with Antonio Brown, I mean, the fact that he kept him under wraps and kept him contained at least that long, you know, without having it just go completely to crap.
Because he was nuts.
He self-destructed the instance he left Pittsburgh. I think that is a huge calling card for Coach Tomlin. I wouldn't want to ride with anybody but Coach T. Is he going to out-scheme Bill Belichick? No. But who the hell is going to do that?
Right.
I think we can get him one more Super Bowl here, then people will shut up about it pretty quickly.
All right, a couple more minutes with Joey Molinaro from Barstool Sports. He's a podcast called Cup of Joey with a new episode that drops every Monday. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm sorry if it makes this interview kind of awkward, but I'm not really a huge Barstool guy. I've always wondered what it's like, though, to work with them or for them and for Portnoy and all of those guys. I mean, while I'm not the biggest fan, I certainly, like, respect what they've done and just building up that brand and that following all – basically, like, via the internet and have become a huge entity. So can you shed some light on that?
Yeah, man. I mean, Dave and Erica and Big Cat and PFT, I mean, all the big dogs at Barstool are just the best. I mean, you know, Dave has welcomed me in with open arms. You know, I get the outside perception of people who want to say different things about him, whatever. I'll always go to bat for Dave. he's been nothing but good to me, good to my wife. You know, Erica the same way. I mean, it's just a place where really, you know, for a diehard sports fan, for somebody who likes to make people laugh and do these kind of things, it's just a dream. There's no better place to do it. The freedom, the assistance, the production, all these things that you get at a place like this are just, it's out of this world. You know, it's a dream come true, and I'm very, very lucky to be here and then where I am.
All right, I'm going to be that guy that brings you on and ask you for some impressions if you're up for it. Are you up for that?
Yeah, man, that's my life. Yeah, I'll try to you know, make it work for you.
Okay. All right, I got to go back to Cowherd first. Let's hear some Cowherd.
Well, you got to give me, like, what's the topic? What is he talking about?
Let's go. He's ripping on the Browns because he always loves to do that. We know that. So let's do Cowherd on the Browns.
Joyce, so I was on the Twitter before I came in. You know, on Twitter, I see Baker Mayfield. and Baker, you know, my boy Baker, 12-17 as a starter. He's on there wearing his hat backwards. He's a backseat of the car kind of guy. You're not going to win in the NFL with a backseat, backwards hat kind of guy. You think Russell Wilson would wear a backwards hat? No. Russell Wilson's going to come in there. He's going to shake your hand. But God, Baker Slit! Not in my world. It's hurt.
I love it. Okay, and one more. Nick Saban.
I'm screaming at Starbucks right now. People are looking at me like, you know, what the hell's going on?
I'm sure that's also part of your life as well. I mean, yeah. I'm not sure how many radio hits you do at a Starbucks, but whatever. last one, if I can ask you for it, if people don't mind too much there. Nick Saban is mad at something. It can be anything because he's always mad, you know, so whatever. Nick Saban is mad.
What about, like, okay, what his wife is cooking for dinner? Or something?
Okay, all right.
So, does that work?
Yes.
All right. I mean, I come home every day. I have put in a hard day's work, and I come home, and all I get is chicken and greens every day. I'm sick and tired of having chicken and greens. Maybe mix it up a bit. I know that I bust my ass every single day. What are you doing right now? Well, I'm out there watching film, forming a football program, and I come home to just dried chicken and green beans every night, all right? That's not going to work for me. It's starting to piss me off, quite frankly. I need a little something different, all right? So until you come to me and say, hey, do you want some more chicken and beans, I'm not going to respond to that, all right? So just quit asking.
I love it, man. That's awesome. Joey Molinaro from Barstool Sports. Check him out. He's all over Twitter, all over social media with stuff like that. Joey, thanks for a couple minutes this morning, and we'll enjoy everything on Monday night, that's for sure.
Hell yes, brother. Appreciate it. Look forward to being back on hopefully sometime. And as always, go Steelers.
All right, there he is. Big thanks to Joey for joining me. Got to get to a break here. Coming up next, we're going to recap what happened last night, Texans, Chiefs, and also all the Steeler predictions you could ever want for the 2020 season. That's next, Early Morning Show. Plenty of sports action last night that you may have missed. Let's get right to it.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
All right, first, playoffs, Game 3, NHL. Vegas Golden Knights, Dallas Stars, 2-2. Goes into overtime, NBC Sports.
And now Ben, quickly up the left wing. Pass across for Radulov to the right circle. Moves it and shoots. He scores! 31 seconds into overtime. Alexander Radulov wins Game 3 for the Dallas Stars with his second overtime goal during the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs in Edmonton.
And the series continues to go back and forth out there in the Western Conference as Dallas takes a 2-1 series lead now. And I think this series is going to go the distance. It just looks like these two teams are very evenly matched, keep ping-ponging back and forth. And I don't know if either one of them is good enough to beat Tampa Bay, though, out in the Eastern Conference. They are by far, to me, the Stanley Cup favorites right now. And they've got Game 3 coming up tonight, as Tampa Bay has a 2-0 series lead there over the New York Islanders. But a couple interesting notes. Alex Killorn has been suspended for one game for boarding Brock Nelson back in Game 2, so he'll be out tonight. And also Braden Point, who's been on point for Tampa Bay, could miss with a back injury as well. So maybe some light at the tunnel there, or maybe some, you know, hope for the Islanders in Game 3. But I still think Tampa Bay wraps up that series and does so pretty quickly. NBA playoffs from last night. It was the Lakers over the Rockets by 10, 110 to 100. They take a 3-1 series lead there, and it looks like an all-LA Western Conference Finals is just about inevitable. And then it was Texans-Chiefs, of course. Thursday night football, the NFL season kicking off, and kicking off in a big way for one Jim Colony after this happened.
In the pocket, over the middle, and that will be caught by Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Yeah, after first, new running back for the Texans, David Johnson, scored to begin the game to go up 7-0 for Houston. Jim Colony's first overall pick in the Fan Morning Show Fantasy Football Draft, Travis Kelce, catches a touchdown. As far as individuals, this guy was also very impressive, scoring when the Chiefs were already up 17-7, I believe right after halftime.
And a very good offensive line. Second down and three. Big hole. Edwards-Helaire will take it to the end zone.
Yeah, the rookie from LSU, 25 carries, 138 yards, and that touchdown. The Chiefs go on to win this one 34-20 over the Houston Texans, and much of this game was just about what I expected. I expected maybe a little bit more, actually, from the Texans, a little bit more fight, but KC picked up, I mean, right where they left off, and they look like a 13-3 Super Bowl favorite juggernaut like they did last year. And for Houston, I don't know if Bill O'Brien is he good at anything, really? I mean, is he that great of a head coach? Because I certainly know he's not that great of a GM. Because his blunder this offseason, I thought, already reared its ugly head last night, where Deshaun Watson was clearly missing his number one target. This offense was sputtering throughout most of the first half and even through the third quarter. And he didn't have his go-to guy to help things get going again in DeAndre Hopkins. And they're going to have to figure out life without him. I mean, David Johnson's a good back, and I think he'll bounce back after essentially getting benched in Arizona for Kenyon Drake last year. But he's just not the weapon that Hopkins was. And when you have a guy with that much chemistry with an elite-level quarterback like Deshaun Watson, you just don't take that guy away. You pay him and you keep him. And I think Houston was going to have to really pay the price for it, and they're going to have some struggles to start the year because of it. And I still think, as I said yesterday, they're around a 9-7-ish team, that it might keep them out of the playoffs at 9-7. It also could win them the division in the AFC South, because I think that division is weak enough to win with that kind of record. So both teams, I think, they are who I thought they were after week one, or at least after the first game of the NFL season last night. All right, coming up next, Steelers predictions and a full Steelers preview for the 2020 season. What I think is going to happen and what the end result of the season will be, and some things to watch out for, even starting Monday night against the Giants. That's next. It is the early morning show on The Fan for a couple more minutes before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. Loaded up for the Fan Morning Show today. 7 o'clock, new starting right tackle Zach Banner for the Steelers joins the show. That's at 7 o'clock. Paramount Sports handicapper, our betting guy for the show, Lee Sterling. It's first hit with us at 8 o'clock today. 8:30, Pat Bostic, Pit Color Analyst, joins for all things Pitt Austin Peay this weekend, and then the Fort at 9 o'clock for some Bucko talk, and joins us for his weekly segment with us. Also 9:30, our first edition of the picks, jam-packed for the Fan Morning Show coming up after this, a Friday edition. Steelers predictions, preview, all things in between here to wrap up the show. Overall thoughts to me, this is a team that, honestly, it doesn't have an excuse. As long as Ben Roethlisberger stays healthy, of course, not to make the playoffs. That's what sticks out to me the most. There's no going 8-8 here like in 2018 with Ben in there. It's a much better defense than back then. and it's at least a quieter locker room for now. Maybe not as much pure talent in there, but there is definitely fewer distractions. And I think this defense isn't going to be so turnover heavy as it was last year, because that was a lot of the success, especially early on in the year last year, was creating those turnovers just to pretty much stay alive after Ben Roethlisberger went down. But that doesn't mean that they won't be effective via creating turnovers. Like, they don't need to be top one or two in the league that they were last year along with the Patriots to still be that defense that wreaks havoc. They can still be a top 10 defense. They put an emphasis on it last year to strip the ball away and to create those turnovers, and it worked. So I think it shows up again this year. Why not go back to that well? I just wouldn't expect the same level of success for that defense this year. And I also don't see why they can't be among one of the top sack teams in the league again this year. They've got everyone back. Plus, Stephon Tuitt is a nice little bonus, as long as, of course, he can stay healthy. And he will be heading into this season. And Bud Dupree's still there on the franchise tag. TJ Watt. I don't know how much better the guy can get, but as long as he is a force again, they should be right there in terms of sack numbers. So I have very high expectations for the Steelers defense. Looking at their schedule, I think the toughest stretch for them is going to be from week 4 to week 9 after the bye. So week 4, they're at Tennessee, could be a playoff team. Week 5, they're at home against the Eagles. Again, all of these games could be against playoff teams here, or teams capable of making the postseason. Week 5, at home against the Eagles. Week 6, at home against the Browns. Week 7, on the road against Baltimore. Then they've got the bye week 8. And then week 9, in Jerry World, against the Cowboys. That's going to be a stretch that might make or break the season. You know, if they only go, what's that, 5 games, they go 2-3 there, it gets a little shaky. Although the schedule does loosen up a little bit after that. I think there's always a game that you look for. And there's one every year, and maybe there wasn't one last year just because it wasn't really a full Steelers team without Ben there. But the old Tomlin special, you know, that game that just frustrates you so much that they lose, that they should have not lost. They had no business losing. I think that game this year is at Cincinnati in week 15. Just to make things more interesting over the last 2 weeks of the season, just to make sure that they have to win those last two games after that one against Cincinnati. And that's against Indianapolis at home and then on the road at Cleveland to end the year. I think that's where it comes. I think Cincinnati is a little bit better than people think this year. And especially by the end of the year, by week 15, I think they'll have some things figured out, where Zach Taylor, the head coach there, can finally start showing his offensive mind a little bit that he had with the Rams and brought over from LA with a little bit more capable quarterback in Joe Burrow. Some player predictions for 2020 for the Steelers. On offense, I do think Ben's arm stays healthy. He could miss a couple of games with something else, though. That's always a possibility. But I do think he is back in a big way. I don't expect him to have any kind of severe drop-off in performance. James Conner gets a lot of fans back this year. He's motivated by the contract, motivated by the potential money to be made, even if it's not here in Pittsburgh. I think he'll stay healthier because there are other backs around, and despite Mike Tomlin's bell cow comments, I do think that they will get more time, that they will take some of the load off of James Conner, and that Mike Tomlin will be very willing and able to do that, because it's not just him pulling the strings here. It's, yes, Coach Randy, but it's also Matt Canada as well, with his fingerprints all over the offense. And I think that he's going to want to use weapons like Anthony McFarland in this offense. So I think James Conner is going to have a Pro Bowl season. And I think he plays at least 13 games. Maybe that's something that is very bold to say, but that's just the feeling I get on Conner coming into this year. Eric Ebron. I'm thinking 8 touchdowns for Eric Ebron this year, and most by a singular Steeler. And I was extra convinced of that in listening to Andy Benoit from Sports Illustrated, who breaks down a lot of film, who joined the Fan Morning Show yesterday and was talking about Eric Ebron and meant to pull off a clip of that. But basically, he was saying that Eric Ebron not only is just a big target in the red zone, but he knows how to be a big target in the red zone. A body positioning, knowing when to signal, how to get open, all of the little things that you want from a guy that you look toward whenever it gets in tight. And I think Ben is going to utilize that throughout the season. So I think he gets 8 touchdowns. Ebron does. And that's with Ben Roethlisberger also spreading the ball around to a lot of other weapons there, because he does that every year. And speaking of that, I think Juju and Deontay Johnson won't have true number one receiver type seasons if you look at just pure stats. But I think both will be close to 1,000 yards and under 8 touchdowns. So both will trade off kind of being the star of the show game to game in the passing game. And I think the rookie Chase Claypool, he gets 500 yards and a respectable 4 touchdowns. I think that's what you can expect from him in a rookie season. And lastly, for the offense, Big Al Villanueva scares me a little. And I don't have a lot of confidence in him having a better year than last year. I really don't think that he was very good last year. I thought against the better pass rushers, he looked a little overmatched, and maybe it was highlighted by the poor quarterback play. But the confidence level for me isn't quite there for Villanueva this year. All right, defensively, some player predictions. I think Terrell Edmonds and Sean Davis end up splitting time at strong safety throughout the year. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in at Edmonds. I haven't seen anything from him so far in his, albeit short, career. But I think a guy like Sean Davis coming back with all that experience in the Steelers defense, he takes time away from him. And I think it's almost an even split by the end of the year. Bud Dupree, he's still going to be very effective, but he won't have 11.5 sacks. He'll have like 8 or so. I think we've already seen the best of Bud Dupree, which makes him a great candidate to leave the organization after this year. And I believe that Steven Nelson finally gets the attention he deserves and gets to the Pro Bowl after this year. I think he leads the team in interceptions. Maybe some teams throw to his way a little bit more, because I think Joe Hayden is going to have another shutdown year. But Nelson finally gets that recognition. And finally, you know, it's funny. I thought this was going to happen. I knew this was going to happen, actually. I predicted 9-7 when the Steelers' schedule first came out back in, March, right before the world started to go a little wacky. And I knew that I would add a game or two by the time the season was about to start. And I think a lot of that depended on how Ben looked in coming back. And I'll err on the side of not going with my heart and going a little more sensible. I'll say 10-6 overall, although I think they could easily win 11 games. And with that being said, I've got them in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs. And you know what? That's my expectation. And I think it's okay to have that kind of expectation. This is a complete team now. There aren't giant holes in the secondary anymore. There aren't huge distractions in the locker room. I mean, it's go time. Ben's back. There's lofty expectations, but this is it. So in the AFC, I've got the Steelers and the Chiefs. And then I've got the Seahawks and the Saints in the NFC Championship game. And I've got, I guess, the boring pick for the Super Bowl, the Chiefs over the Saints for the Super Bowl title. So there you go for 2020 season predictions. I don't even have time for Gone in 40 Seconds because I've got to get to the pre-show. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. The sun is shining on budget-friendly deals with 32 new and used vehicles under $19,996. Today, sunny to partly cloudy, not as pleasant, and a high of 81. And then tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 61. Enjoy your weekend. The pre-show is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.